This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Mark, Wang Xiaoning and Roshan Kanisan. And in the US, stocks closed lower yesterday as investors digested mixed messages on progress towards a partial US-China trade deal before the December 15th deadline for an increase in tariffs on Chinese goods. The Dow Jones Industrial Average dropped 0.1%, much like the S&P 500 and the NASDAQ, both also down 0.1%.
And over in Asia, markets also saw declines as uncertainty surrounding the December 15 deadline. Shanghai and Kospi were up about, Shanghai was up 0.1%, Korea was up 0.5%, but the rest was red. Hong Kong down 0.2%, Japan's Nikkei down just under 0.1%, the STI Singapore down 0.5%, and Malaysia's KLCI down just under 0.1%.
So for more on international markets, this morning we have on the line with us Dodge Dorland, Chief Investment Officer at Lander Wealth Management. Thank you very much for joining us, Dodge. Now, House Democrats over in the US are expected to draft at least two articles of impeachment against President Trump. Do you expect markets to react, or has this already been priced in?
Yes, well, good morning. Well, yes, the articles of impeachment are important. And for those of us who've been around for a few years, there is a similarity when you take a look at the Nixon impeachment way back when and the Carter impeachment, which was more recent, but still years ago. So far, the Trump impeachment process is looking much more like the Carter impeachment. In order for it to become more serious from the market's point of view, there is going to have to be a significant turn against Trump by Republicans. And we're not seeing that yet. So the market is not reacting as much to what is happening so far. We took some large steps towards within the impeachment process yesterday, and yet the market wasn't down significantly. In fact, the market was down more by what you're talking about, the trade prospects, as opposed to what's happening over here politically. So the market is not ready to really give a heavy weighting towards the process until it appears that there's going to be a significant turn within the Republican Party against Trump. And then when that happens, yes, there will be a significant reaction within the market. But the market is innocent until proven guilty. The impeachment process is going to continue, but will not reach the ultimate step until it proves that it can.
And Dodge, like you mentioned, the trade deal, time is running out to conclude phase one between China and U.S. with tariffs set to escalate in 2 days' time. Does this worry you, and have you actually locked in some gains, especially since markets have done so well year to date?
Yes, we've locked in gains, and we're doing it in terms of the sector rotation that we've been talking about. And so we tend to take profits because the market's reaction to the news, whether it's real or not, is significant, but it's short-term, and it's volatile. So it is better to take profits. And I mean, when you talk about long-term, it's hard to pick long-term winners given what's happening between China and the U.S. So, yes, we tend to take profits. If the market moves way above us after we've taken our profit, we're on the sideline and we're clapping and cheering yay for the market. It doesn't bother us not to be in. What it would be more of concern to us is if we're in the market and there was a significant turndown, and it happened at a time when there was more serious, longer-term news about what's happening between China and the U.S.
All right, Dodge, now looking ahead, what's your asset allocation strategy for 2020? What's on your radar?
Okay, so on the long side, we're looking at biotechnology, diversified banks, industrial machinery, healthcare, pharmaceuticals, steel. On the negative side, we are watching data processing and outsourced services and application software. There's several areas that we're mixed. On the internet, software and services, we like Alibaba, Cloudera, DocuSign, but we're being very careful about eBay, Match Group, and Wix. In the semiconductor area, we like Asmel Holdings, Photronics, and Monolithic Power Systems, but we're very cautious about Marvell Technology. So we're very positive in some, quite negative in others, fewer negatives than positives, and two or three were mixed, depending on the specific company.
And Dodge, we are continuing to see consolidation in the pharmaceutical and biotechnology space with two deals announced, but this sector has underperformed the broader market over political noise over prescription drug prices. But is it time to be a little more optimistic, you think?
Yes, and we are. We're watching very carefully in the pharmaceutical area. We are watching Avadil. Actually, we have a position in Avadil, and we're looking to buy if it pulls back to the 6.5 to 7 zone. We like Bristol-Myers, Endo International, Eli Lilly, Merck. The only one that we don't like is Evolus, which is rather small. Now, in the biotechnology area, we have Immune, Divinex, Flexion, Immunogen. In other words, we have a whole bunch of names in both these sectors that we are positive on. But again, they have to prove themselves. Sometimes there is a discovery, and that tends to, obviously, drive the stocks up. So we are more positive than negative in both those areas.
Last thing, Dodge, Saudi Aramco shares will begin trading on the domestic Saudi exchange. Are you looking to get in on that?
Yes, we are. But because we're here and the stock is there, we're not going to be able to do it directly, but we will be participating. In terms of volatility, we will be taking advantage of the initial opening. Not in terms of much of the stock itself, but in terms of what's happening within the oil and gas industry in terms of trading opportunities. But yes, we will be doing it through several partners who will be taking longer-term positions than we are, but we are looking to participate in the shorter term and on the positive side.
Thank you very much for joining us, Dodge. And that was Dodge Dorland, Chief Investment Officer at Landa Wealth Management in New York. Now, speaking of Saudi Aramco, the world's largest IPO is slated to kick off today as Saudi officials have held meetings in recent weeks with international investors in order to gauge their views on a possible listing of Aramco's shares in Asia. And this is according to sources who told the WSJ. Now, Saudi Arabia still does hope to attract the foreign capital it failed to draw with this record-breaking domestic IPO.
Yes, like Lynn said, the shares will begin trading on the domestic Saudi exchange after the initial public offering pricing last week, which valued the company at $1.7 trillion. Now, the firm said it would sell a 1.5% stake for a total of $25.6 billion. That made it the largest IPO ever. And as the company filled its order book for the domestic IPO in November, Aramco looks like, you know, they're looking at a possible listing overseas, actually.
So, Alibaba is no longer the biggest IPO in the world. I think that was in 2014. Tech has been dethroned by good old energy.
What is interesting is where they are looking to pursue an international listing. So you would think it would be someplace like New York and London. But these times, options include Japan or even China.
Yeah, because they had a bit of trouble basically shopping this out to the international markets, whether it was, I think they'd even try in the US because of the Jamal Khashoggi incident mm-hmm. or the, yeah, and they looked at London, but that never panned out. And so we'll be interesting to see where they end up on the international market.
I'm just interested to see how it debuts when the Saudi market opens and whether, you know, it manages to actually make some money for some of its investors.
Yes, I think we'll all be watching the opening of the Saudi exchange very closely. But also this morning, let's take a quick look at Hong Kong, because Hong Kong is facing a cabinet reshuffle, but it's not apparently an immediate task. At least this is according to Chief Executive Carrie Lam. As she prepared to visit Beijing for the first time since her government's loss at the local polls last month. Now, this comes as on Sunday, pro-democracy protesters participated in the largest mass rally Hong Kong's seen since pro-democracy candidates scored a landslide victory in the district elections.
Of course, this raised further doubts on how long Beijing is prepared to back Lam. Now, declaring her priority was to restore law and order after more than 6 months of violent protests. Lam said at a weekly media address that she would depart on Saturday for her regular visit to Beijing, where she would brief officials on Hong Kong's biggest political crisis in decades. Now, there is nonetheless still pressure mounting on her government. There has been reports that China was considering a Hong Kong cabinet reshuffle by year end. Since the protests began until now, Lam has been very silent on that.
Yeah, and I think the how big the protests were on Sunday has signaled the fact that we're going to see this more of this in 2020, mm-hmm. and again has shaken confidence in Hong Kong's ability in maintaining its status as a financial center in the longer run, because the last thing a financial center needs is instability. That's not a comment on the protest itself, but as a financial center, any financial center needs stability.
Absolutely. And we are also seeing some of Hong Kong's industries feeling the hit from this. The aviation industry was one of them.
Which is why the Hang Seng Index, the year-to-date return is only 2.3%. Still better than us.
Still better.
But not so good as other markets like in Japan, which are up close to 17%.
Wow.
All right. Well, right now we're heading into a few messages. Be sure to stay tuned to BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.